Amen. I've been known to do some unusual things, and I'll do something unusual right now. I want Brother Ruckman and Brother Kyle and Brother Peacock, I want y'all to come down here and pray for me before I preach. I just, when God lays something on my heart, I'm going to do it. I don't, well, somebody said, well, I don't know what you're doing. Well, I don't either, but God said do it, and I want these two to pray for me before I preach, these three. God laid all three of them on my heart. Amen.
Now, Father, bless this brother in Christ. We want you to fill him with the Spirit of God.
Oh, God.
May Father just float and see a glory tonight that you might control his mouth, control his
heart,
control everything he's about to say. And may this message be just the same message you preach if you were here.
Yes, God.
Just pray to stay in your place tonight.
Yes,
if you say if you were here, you know what I need to be said. You know what you do if you were here.
Oh, God.
Just replace Father Adley tonight. Father, we know it would be his desire for this to be true.
Oh, God.
And speak through him like you speak if you're personal. Through your representative, through your ambassador, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Sometimes we get lifted up in pride and we don't do what God says, and you just miss God. And I'm an unusual person. I don't like to miss God. Because you miss God, then somebody goes to hell because you done it. And I just don't like to do that. And like they so graciously said, I feel really unworthy even to be here. And I just thank God for you people and the blessings. And when Brother Ruckman, he told what y'all gave to us, my knees almost buckled. Because I thought, God, I ain't worthy of that. But thank God, God knows what I need, and I'm glad he'll meet that need according to his riches and glory to Christ Jesus. So I thank you for that. Turn with us to Ruth chapter 2 as we look into the word of the Lord. Ruth chapter 2. I desired to preach a couple of different messages, but God just wouldn't let me get away from this, and so this is where we're going. Ruth chapter 2. And the Bible said of Naomi, had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field, glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her help was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered her and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning unto now. And she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field, and they feel that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I want to bring a message tonight, when God took a stranger in. When you begin to look at this passage of Scripture, you notice the book of Ruth is setting after the book of Judges. It is not by chance that this book is where it's at. Because you find here in Judges, they don't have a leader. And they're doing that which was right in their own eyes. They don't have a king. The Bible lets us know in Deuteronomy 33, 4 through 5, there you'll find the Bible said Moses was a king in Jeshurun. So their king was dead now, and so they was doing that which was right in their own eyes, and because of that, the judgment of God fell upon the nation of Israel, just as history had it to be, and that judgment. And then comes the book of Ruth, where God turns away from the nation of Israel, and he turns unto a Gentile. And he finds this Gentile woman. He purchased her, and she's wicked. She's perverse. Now, this woman has no hope. She's grave. She's a Moabitish. It is declared in Deuteronomy 23 and 3 that a Mononite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So we find here the tender mercy of God allows this woman to become a part of the family of God. Even though she was vile, even though she was alienated, the Bible said in Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, wherefore remember, God wants you to remember this, that you were one time like this, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called and circumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand. But at that time ye was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant promise, having no hope and without God in the world. One day I was like that. But thank God for his grace and his mercy that allowed me to be a part of the heavenly kingdom. Now by the grace of God, I seek his tender mercy now upon my life, that I might bring forth some truths here concerning the fact, when I was a stranger, amen, when God took a stranger in. Now notice that Naomi had a kinsman in verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Here we have view of the nation of Israel. Naomi is in that type as the nation of Israel. And they had rejected the place of God's worship, which was Bethlehem, called the House of Bread. And so now they've gone off down in the land of Moab, and it's cost her. Now I want to tell you something, young ladies, you that are wives of preachers, I wanted you to get a message tonight that you can get out of the will of God, and you can force your husband into doing some things that he may not want to do, and get out of the will of God, and you may have a grave down in the land of Moab. See, this woman was the cause of this. Said, where do you get that, preacher? Well, just follow me in the Word of God, and I'll show you she was the cause of it. She noticed the Bible said, the Bible said she had no husband. Hosea 2 and 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, and neither am I her husband. I'm saying she's a type of Israel leading up to the judgment of God that causes God to turn to a stranger. Every Gentile person in this building tonight, you need to understand that God turn unto you and I, who are nothing but dogs. People looked at the Jews and declared, is this God's people, as the Bible has declared? Seeing the dilemma of their lives, seeing the problems they face, the constant of the world, the whole world is against the Jew. The Bible said in Ruth 1 and 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Look at the question there. Brother, that wasn't a woman. They remember that went down there. And I'm going to tell you, young lady, you might be beautiful tonight, but you get all the will of God, get your husband all the will of God, you may one more day in the church, and they may say, is that who I think it is? Yes, the price of sin is high. It'll cost you. It'll wreck your lives. Well, you say, well, I just don't like what God's called my husband to do. Well, you may have to bury him, gal. You may have to bury him if you don't do what God. And if you don't do what God, you may get him under some situations that he wouldn't want to have to be under. A lot of things happen because people won't do the will of God. The Bible said in Ruth 1, 20 and 21, and she declared, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. She said, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? For the Jews was called God's pleasant plant. Isaiah 5 and 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of the hosts of the house of Israel and the men of Judah are God's pleasant plant. But because the judgment of God had fell down upon them, then we find, behold, Naomi's kinsman. The Bible said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. This kinsman is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He proceeds from the lineage and is the great grandfather of David the king, and the true king of Israel, and not Saul. Boaz means in him is strength. He is the redeemer. He's not the king here. Notice, he was a mighty man of wealth. Thank God I'm glad that the one I serve owns it all. The Bible said in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. Thank God I'm glad it belongs to him. It's all his. I mean, it's all in the hands of him. Now, you can either reject it, you can accept it or reject it, but I want to tell you, if you reject it, there's an eternal hell awaiting you. Now, the Bible says, plain and clear, that Adam was in the image of God, being the Son of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Luke 3:38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. But because of the fall, we're in the image of Adam. The Bible said in Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot sons in his own image, and after his image, and call his name in his likeness, and after his image, and call his name Seth. Now let me tell you, I'm going to get you, you need to see something tonight. You're sitting out there, a bunch of you. You ain't never drank anything. You ain't never smoked anything. You ain't never done anything, but you need to realize that you're as wicked as hell. You need to realize that you're fallen in Adam, and you're wicked. Hey, you're wicked as any dog that ever roamed the face of this earth. See, what people don't realize, they try to compare the self above themselves. You need to compare yourself with Jesus Christ. You need to realize he's holy. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America. They don't know nothing about the holiness of God. Amen? That's why people not getting saved. They don't know how holy God is. Hell no, God don't play games. Oh, they thank God some old gray-headed granddaddy up yonder in the rocket chair. Yeah. You don't realize that the Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. Yeah. I mean, you're serving a holy God that cannot behold iniquity. He looks down and he sees all of this. It's a stench in his nostrils. I mean to tell you, you're in the image of that fallen Adam if you've never been saved by the grace of God. You've been saved by the grace of God, thank God. You've been created anew in Christ Jesus. But I'm saying to you, you need to realize, so a kinsman must be in the image and the likeness of man to have power to redeem. The Bible said in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became beaten unto death, even the death of the cross. You're here tonight lost without God. He became beaten unto death of the cross for you. He came beaten unto death of the cross to keep you out of hell. He bore your sins in his body on the tree. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with most people. They don't realize Jesus Christ had became a queer for you. He became a whore for you. He bore all your wicked and my wicked and ungodly sins in his body on the tree. And we're still pitching stuff on him. Amen. That we've been saved. He was the last Adam, the Son of God, made in the likeness and fashioned in the likeness as a man. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Brother, you need to realize this. For he was the very express image of God. But it was made in the likeness of man. Most people don't understand the mediator. Mediator is a person that both sides can accept. Jesus Christ is that mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. He caught the hand of God. God said, I'm satisfied, son. He caught the hand of me. And I said, I'm satisfied, Jesus. And God said, and Jesus said, I bring you together. We are reconciled. In the Old Testament, when Abraham was going up the mountain, and he's going up there, and he's taking Isaac to the top of the hill, and this is what he said. He said, here's the wood, and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. You say, preacher, it wasn't a lamb, though. It was a ram. You got it. What is a ram? He's the father of a lamb. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Hallelujah, thank God. Without the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, there could be no Redeemer. There's reasons why. Because of the bloodline of Adam, and because right there, back there, a wicked, ungodly king. And God had to bypass all that, come through Mary, and the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth that son, made of the law, made of a woman. Lady, I'm going to tell you something. You know why the devil's on your case? You know why the devil hates you, lady? Because you brought, well, a woman brought the Savior in the world. And I'm going to tell you something else, lady. You need to realize this. You can touch the heart of God sometime when a man can't touch it. Boy, I remember back as a young boy in our church and saved by the grace of God, a young man. And we had some old women, they're all on the hillsides of glory now. We had some old women. Boy, I'm going to tell you, sometime I'd get to praying. We'd meet at the altar, and women get on one side, the men on the other side. We'd start praying. And the goddamn women to get tuned into God over there. And I'd just stop and listen to them. Man, they sound like a beagle. That brother had hit a hot trail of a rabbit, and some then cornered the devil. They had him up a tree, and on God, they would not let him down. I'm going to tell you, ladies, we need some old-time women full of God. Brother, Amen. I pray and get the devil off us men's backs. So bless God, we can do what we need to do. Man, our women used to go up on top of the mountain. We up on top of the mountain behind the church. We got an old rock up there that's called Jeremiah 33:3. Many years ago, when we bought the property, I went up there and I saw this rock, and the thing looks like an altar. I said, "My Lord, boy, God, you sure gave me a good place to pray." And one day I was up there and about tore the woods all to pieces. When I got to thinking, when God was making that mountain, He said, "Well, I'm going to put this rock here because, man, I'm going to save an old boy. And my God, he's going to come up here. He's going to see that rock, and he's going to want to get close to me." Hallelujah, thank God. Boy, I tell you, I remember one time, just seemed like heaven was a brass. Just seemed like I could touch heaven at all. God, I'd search my heart. I couldn't find anything. I said, "God, what have I done wrong? I won't know." So I'm going to tell you, I want to be able to hit my knees at a moment and get a hold to God. I don't want to have to spend an hour getting right with God. Amen? And the women was coming out there to pray. And while I said, going up on the mountain, I said, "Pray for me." Boy, them women went up there and they got around that rock. And to God, it wasn't long. I could hear them slap down there. Son, they'd done hooked up with God. I'm telling you, it was on. Oh, God, they got the shouting and the hollering up there on that mountain. Boy, I'm laying there on the bed, and about that time, the sweet presence of God just come around me. The tears started rolling out the side of the eye, and I said, "Glory to God. It's good to know you're around again, God." Amen. Brother, we need to get back to that. We need to realize some things. Let us behold Ruth the sinner, far from God, in verses 2 through 9. You find her here in the field where she must find grace in the eyes of the one that can meet her need. In verses 2 and 3, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. She said unto her, Go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. The field is a type of the world. But here notice that Boaz came and found her. She was not seeking him. She was just seeking her need met. And he came looking for her in verse 4. The Bible said, Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. The reapers being the saints of God that are in the field reaping that which they sown. Boy, then one glad morning, my Boaz, hallelujah, came to the house of bread. Praise God, he came and he found me. And he looked at the reapers and he said, Whose damsel is that? Oh, glory. I'm telling you, you need to realize, child of God, one day he come by around, and I'm glad, thank God, he was a wealthy man. Hey, I was like a slave on the market. My hands behind me shackled and for sale to the highest bidder. And the devil's bidding for me. I'm glad my Boaz came around. He said, I'll buy him. Hallelujah, thank God. And I'm glad he bought me. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. Thank God I'm glad I've been bought. Boy, I'm glad one day when he cast his eyes upon me, he looked down and he said, yeah, I remember that little boy. I remember him laying up yonder on the stars and laying there and his little old boy and looking up stars and said, God, can a little fella like me ever know you? Yeah, he's kind of messed up now. He's kind of soiled with everything else and all fouled up and his life just ruined and wrecked and nobody don't think he's worth anything anyway. Praise God, he's worth something to me. I'm going to buy him. Hey, man, this old boy has looked at that damsel and said, whose damsel is she? Hey, listen, the servant, look in verse 6, and the servant, well, who in the name of God is the servant? The Holy Ghost. He's over the reapers, amen? You got the Holy Ghost, and he's saying, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is that Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Oh, the day, boy, when the servant of God, man, come with the handcuffs. Thank God, with a warrant for my arrest. Boy, standing on the back pew, going to hell. Praise God, he come, he said, you're under arrest. God slapped the cuffs on and said, come with me. Hallelujah, glory to God. When it sat on that back pew in that church, an old Methodist, them old guys coming in them robes on, getting up there and said, God is in his holy temple. Before he got through with that, I was done sleep from the drunk on Saturday night. Sir. My God, I go in there, and this preacher's down on his knees. He's slinging snot. He's spitting going on. I said, my God, what did I get into? And I want to tell you, brother, he had the answer. He had that old 1611. I've been listening to that old Revised Standard Version. My God, ain't nobody get saved by that mess. Boy, I've been listening to that. Oh, Lord God, that preacher's coming at me. My eyes, I know. I've been people, they just got up like this. Under God. Under God, I never snoozed. But I want to tell you about that time. He got to throwing that finger. And everything about my life, he had it pointed. And he's coming down. And I'm thinking, who in the name of God's told him on me? Amen. He's coming out of me. And he's throwing that finger back there. What about that time he gets through the message? He comes down at the front. He gets down at the front. He looks back at a big old smile. And he said, and the Bible said, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm sitting back there and I said, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of this junk. I'm tired of this life. I need some rest, God. I need some rest. They sang, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thank God I went down that aisle, grabbed that preacher. I said, my name's Bobby Utner, and I'm going to hell, and I want to get saved. Hey, big sinner back there, you think you're tough? You're a wimp. You ain't nothing but a stinking wimp, what you are. Now you get to look at hell like I got to look at hell, and no one about had to beg you. Listen, they won't even, you won't even wait for the invitation. Son, you'll slide in here like going into second base. I didn't give a flip what anybody thought about me. My God, I didn't care nothing about what anybody thought when I was drunk going to hell. Why should I care what somebody thought now? Man, I didn't want to go to hell. I don't care what they thought. Who cares? Man, I don't want to burn in hell. About a couple weeks before that, I got outside my bed. I said, God, I'm going to hell. I don't know how to get saved. I won't go to hell. Next day, man, give me a God sent me a plan of salvation. Try it. Get a meal company. I read that and I said, it can't be that simple, God. All the wicked mess I've left, surely, God, I've got to do something. No, he said, all you got to do is come. I've done it all. Jesus, come. Boy, I was running around trying to do something. Boy, I think how I was going to quit all this cussing. How I'm going to quit all this drinking. How I'm going to quit all this junk. Boy, I got over and that old preacher told me just what that tract said. You don't have to quit nothing, so just come to Jesus. Boy, thank God that's what I've done. Hey, boy, listen, I'm telling you, oh, that glad morning in the Lane Street Baptist Church, oh, when the servant, so yeah, that's how the wicked Bobby Utley. He's dirty, and he's filthy hard, and the Lord said, I want him. I want him. Amen. He, the Holy Spirit, spoke unto me, and call me unto him. Amen. Verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued even from morning unto now. And she tarried a little in the house. Oh, that glad day. When that voice spoke to me and I found grace in the sight of the Lord. Verse 8 and 9. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Whoa, hallelujah. I'm glad that morning he said, don't leave the field. Don't go down yonder to the Roman Catholic Church. Don't go down yonder to the Free Will Baptist Law. You can lose it the next week, church. Don't go over to Ham Street Church of God. Don't go over to that Pentecostal church. Don't go down yonder to them Mormons, them Jehovah Witnesses. You stay right here in this field. Here's where you're going to find Jesus, in this field. You're not going to find him down here at all, a mess. Some people think, boy, they think they really got it. They stick their antennas up and they pass out and they got it. Let me ask you something. The Bible said, let everything be done decent in order. If you're going to be slain in the spirit, what they do with the coats, ladies? People always talking about Benny. I call him Benny Bad Breath Hen. I'm going to make some of you mad. You can get mad, buddy. That low down sorry rat said he went up yonder up north and that he took mass at a Catholic church from Mother Superior. And he said, I've never felt fire burn in my bones like I felt that day. He's going to hell. Benny Hinn's gonna burn. And a lot of you gonna burn following him. You better come to Jesus Christ and realize it ain't this preacher, it ain't that preacher, it's Jesus Christ. Brother, we ain't got no power. He's got the power. He's got the power, brother. I don't want you looking at me. I want you to see him. I want you to see Jesus. Neither go from hence, but by here fast by my maids. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Boy, I'm glad when she found grace over in verse 10. Then she fell on her face. That's what you got to do. Like Brother Rutman said, well, I believe I can just sit right back here. And I believe, Lord, just do as much for me back here as will down there like them all immediates down there around that altar. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. He ain't going to do nothing for you. He ain't going to do nothing for you because you're not going to bow. You're just going to sit on your butt. You ain't going to bow. You're going to have to bow for God to do something for you. So I'm going to tell you one thing. It wasn't hard for this old wicked hellbound sinner. When he said, get down, I know he wasn't talking about dancing, bless God, and I got down. Got on my knees, buddy. God, when I got saved, Lord have mercy. How was it, preacher? Well, I can't really tell you. I knelt, And suddenly, it happened. My God, I can't tell you when it did or nothing. It just, one, I was like that, and then I wasn't no more. And God, all the sin was gone. All the weight of sin was off me. My Lord, I felt free. I didn't know what the Bible said, but I felt free. That preacher asked me something. See, friend, you got to understand me. My grandmother's meant more to me than anything. As a grown man, I would walk into the spinning room. I worked in the card room on the third shift, and my grandmother, she worked on the first shift down the spinning room. That old gray-haired woman be sitting down, and I'd walk up, reach around there and kiss her on the cheek. She'd reach up, and I said, "I love you, Grandma." She said, "I love you, son." She said, "You be careful going home now." That's the one that prayed for me. That old woman was sitting right there knowing that I was going to hell, but yet she said, "No, he ain't." Because I prayed, and God said, "I'm going to save him, and I'm going to call him to preach." And that old woman, she just was the way she was. One time she come to my house and sit down, and I was fixing to eat, she said, "Son, don't you thank God for your food before you eat?" Some of you don't. Some of you get out yonder in a restaurant and you think you got lice in your eyebrows. You go. Or drop your napkin. "Thank you, Lord, for that food." You hypocrite! I'm telling you, brother, you need to realize. She said, then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found grace in thy eyes?" Now, I used to make this statement that God showed me one day. I don't know why God saved me. I do. He saved me for His glory. He saved me that He might be glorified here and there. One day, I'm going to be walking toward the throne. After I get past the judgment seat, walking toward the throne. Pure, clean, white, a white robe on, and all the seraphims and all the angels was going to be looking on with awe. Are they great crowd that He's redeemed? Whores, adulterers, murderers, all this ungodly, anything you think ungodly. That's them. That's them. He's cleaned them up, and He's made them like His Son. Whew. That's why He saved me, for His glory. He saved you for His glory. You're here lost. He wants to save you for His glory. See, it astonishes people. I'm known. I'm in my hometown. I'm known. Everybody's known me from a child up. They know me. And it gets back every once in a while. Somebody tells somebody, my church said, "Yeah, I remember your preacher." I said, "There's one thing about that old boy. When God done something for him, boy, he done an about face." Amen. Yes, sir. I'm the same down here at Pensacola as I am up in Kannapolis. I don't put on airs. I'm the same everywhere I go. If I feel like shouting down yonder downtown, I'll shout downtown. I'm not worried about what people think. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. Somebody says, "Well, look at that crazy fool." Why? Hey, I was a fool for the devil. Yeah. Why am I upset? So because somebody calls me a fool for Christ. Downtown one time, me and my mom and wife standing there and was talking to a brother in Christ in one of these, labor party and communists, you know. come up there and said, do you know, started talking about the governor and talking about, I said, hey, we're discussing spiritual things and I'm not interested in your junk. And he said, we're born again. He said, oh, are you born again like Jimmy Carter? No, he said, I said, I'm saved. He said, oh, you're saved like Jimmy Carter. I said, no, I've been born again. That guy jumped back. He said, I better leave you alone then if you've been born again. And I went down, I started to cross the street. Man, I cut loose right in the middle of the street. I shouted, I said, wow, thank God. I'm glad the devil knows and he's afraid of the fact that I've been born again. He knows. He's beat on me. He's stormed me. He's tried to make people hate me. He's done everything he knows to do. And I'm like an old ball. You take an old ball and stick it underwater. As long as you got your hand on that ball, it's underwater. Just take your hand off. I'm coming to the top, buddy. I'm coming to the top. Amen. Because I got the breath of God in me, and I'm coming to the top. The Word of God. I said, she found grace. Thank God, I'm glad. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, glory, hallelujah. This old gal said, why are you taking knowledge of me? I'm a stranger. Look at the next verse, 13. Down verse 13. Then she said, let me find grace in thy sight, my Lord. For that thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoke friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. Whew. Boy, that day he spoke friendly. Son, he didn't cuss me out. He just said, come on. Just get out of that pew and come. I died for you. Just come. Just come and I'll save you. And he's not a liar. All you got to do is come. You don't know what I've done. I'm not really interested in what you've done. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're worried about whether God can save you because of what you've done. And Paul said, Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Amen. The worst one's done got it, boy. Yeah. You're just going to have to take back seat. So you can't crap out on your sin, son. Yeah. You can't say, well, I'm too bad. No, the bad one's done got it. Yeah. And God said you ain't nothing but a brave. That's all you are. Yeah. You're just one of the little braves running around here. The old chief's done got him. Yeah, glory to be to God. I kill somebody. So did Paul. Reading the Word of God. Well, the wickedest man in Pensacola, Florida, is a man standing behind the pulpit that is lost going to hell. It's not the gutter rat out yonder in the ditch. Jesus Christ never had nothing to do with that bunch, that crowd. He'd pass right by a bunch of Pharisees and say, you white sepulchers, you're the reason they ain't going in. Go down there at the well. Here comes that old wicked woman up and sat down on the well. Said, give me a drink. Now God asked an old Samaritan woman to give him a drink. Amen. Jesus said, Sinner, let me have the chance. Just give me the chance to save you. Just come on and say, I'll save you. Every safe person in here will tell you that. All you got to do is get up out of that pew and come down here, and God will save you. Well, I don't know how to be saved. Somebody will show you. You can't beat that. And it's better than going to hell. She is told at the mealtime she could come to the supper. Hallelujah. Thank God one day I'm going to the supper. I'll tell you what happens in 15 through 17. The servant was told, said, leave her just a few handfuls on purpose. Sometime I get down. Maybe some of you like that. I get down, I get discouraged, and I get kind of defeated. And I get to picking up the old book. And I get to reading through the old book, and suddenly there's a handful on purpose in there. Like I said the other night, boy, you talking about a handful on purpose. When this thing really jumped out at me, boy, I didn't know what to do. I was very discouraged. And that old weather man said the rain's in the bright clouds. And I said, I think I read that. I've read through there enough. I believe that's in the book. Zechariah 10:1, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. You don't find that in nothing but a King James Bible. I've done check 15 translations. They say storm clouds. But God said, no, it ain't. It's a bright cloud. You just ain't looking at it right. And God said, one day I'm going to give man enough knowledge. I'm going to show him that I'm right. So God lets him make a satellite. And lo and behold, they say the rain's in the bright cloud. Yeah, glory. I'm talking about heads full on purpose. That brother, old brother Peacock's talking about, said me and my wife needed some hands full on purpose. God says, I mean, he deliberately does it. Just when you need it. When the devil slapped you around, knocked you around, beat on you, everybody's against you, suddenly he says, recently it's been magnified a little more. One of the preachers up there, he's got so self-righteous and so holy, he thinks he's God or something, I guess. You know, it's amazing when he needed a tractor and needed something, he come down to this old preacher he didn't think too much of. And I haul our tractor all the way up in the mill and up in the mountains, bush hog his property. And now he don't need our tractor. And you know they kick you after a while, and I come down here, and God, I found two friends. Just fell in love with these two brothers. God says, don't worry about son. Down yonder I'll throw you some handfuls on purpose. I'll let you run up on some real people. And then people will start praying for you. I remember when I run up on Brother Andrews up yonder, Dr. Noyes, and I run into a friend. When he had that earthquake out there about a couple years ago, I called out there and said, Brother Andrews, are you okay? Man, he's my friend. I want to know whether he got through that earthquake okay. And then take them, but just dial a little bit and call out that. Find out whether my friend's okay. Some hands full on purpose. And that's what he's doing tonight. This brother got up there and he showed you that you better think about hell. And God let me come up here and show you how to stay out of it. Just come to Jesus. You've never had a friend like him in the world. You can tell him anything and he won't tell nobody about it. Son, there's things that my wife don't know about my life. Amen. Jesus knows it. Yes, and he ain't never told nobody about it. Don't sit there and let the devil talk to you, because he'll damn you to hell in a minute. If you was like me, he was trying to talk to me. He said, well, you better wait. How are you going to quit that drinking? How are you going to quit that cussing? You might go down there and say you got saved, and tomorrow you cut loose and start all that cussing again. Everybody knows, ain't nothing to it. I mean, he told me everything I could imagine, man. Sitting on the back pew. I want to tell you one thing. I'm glad the voice of my Boaz, hallelujah, was sweeter than the voice I'd been hearing all them years. And it was so friendly, and it was so kind. And he said, come. Come. Let every head bow. Every eye close. Friend, you're here and you're lost. Why don't you come? I wonder if there'd be one here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I'm lost. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Are there one anywhere? Hell ain't no trick. Ain't nobody going to drag you down no aisle. Would you like for somebody to pray for you, sinner friend? God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pray for me, preacher. I don't want to go to hell. I see that hand. Are there any others? You'd say, preacher, pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. Father, these two hands has went up, and I'm sure there's others. Then, Father, that maybe there's a preacher's wife in here. Some of these young preachers, and she's very defeated because she's down here, and it ain't as glorious as she thought it was going to be. And she's about ready to force her husband to do something he don't need to do. And I'm asking you to get a hold of her. Then those two precious souls that raised their hand that's lost, Jesus, don't let them go to hell. Let them reach over to somebody beside them and say, would you go to me, with me to an altar? Come and let Christ do something for them. God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us stand. Why don't you come? Don't wait. You raise your hand. That Jesus Christ, you take the first step, he'll help you take the rest of them. I know I've been there. Won't you come? Just come down here and somebody will help you. Some of you others, you didn't know each other.
we're going to sing one more stand. They're going to close now. You've heard the truth. I don't know how many times you've been here in these meetings, but you folks are some great preaching folks. Great preaching. These fellas be the last fellas in the world to say it was great. I know that. I know all about that. I'm maybe the last one to say, but you've been exposed to the real thing. And the Lord's still here with us. He meets with us. We're not playing church around. There's stuff getting done in this church all the time. In the lives of people, it's getting done. Whether it's getting done in your life or not, I don't know, but it's being done all the time around here. And thank God we still got the breath of God on us. Let's don't do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit to make it any other way. With all of these churches where just the folks in one income bracket meet with their buddies and pat each other in the back and talk about their weekend, that crap. We don't want that kind of a place. We don't want a social club. We never have wanted one. And we don't have one. This place here, the Holy Spirit here deals with people and bears fruit in their lives, and they grow, and they have growing pains. They have growing pains. That's part of growing up. That's what we want. Here's a young fella getting saved, maybe some others. We're going to sing one more stanza, and then I hate to bring this meeting to an end. You get going like this, you just want to go on and on and on. One of our students said the Lord's coming back tomorrow. He's betting his whole integrity on it. I think he's kind of foolish for doing it, but I hope he's right. It should be great to end this meeting going straight up in the air, I'll tell you. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? That would be something else. Now, listen, your visitors here, you've been with us here these days. How many visitors would you raise your hands? Raise visitors. There's still about 100 here tonight. Now, you remember us after you leave here in your prayers. And we're just like all the rest of these people here. We have needs. We have needs. You ask God to protect this place from the devil and from the bureaucrats until the Lord comes back. And I want to make a personal request. I want you to remember my eyes here. I'm the only hockey goalie that has glaucoma in one eye and a cataract in the other. And with the reading I do and the proofreading I do, it's the one I wasn't bat blind before I was 50. But it isn't just answering 40 letters a day and grading the papers and then teaching the classes every night. It isn't just that. It's writing the books and then proofreading the books and writing the articles for the papers and God then getting to some illustrations. And I wish you'd remember me in that respect right there. Now we're going to sing one more stanza. If you're not saved, this is for you. This is for you. There's room at the cross. He'll take you if you'll take him. Now listen. Listen to me. If you won't take him, he won't take you. Now that's all there is to it. He said, I want him to take me. Okay, don't take him. Right before I got saved, Hugh Pyle left a little tract on my radio console. I used to be a disc jockey. And I never told anybody about this, but he left that tract there, and that was the ideal tract to give to me, because I'd written by some tough nut who was determined there's going to be black or white, up or down, hot or hell, and he didn't mention any word in that tract. At the end of that tract, it says, Know that I'm a sinner and need to be saved. I'm here confessing Christ my Savior and signing my name thereto as a proof that I'm accepting him as my Savior. It was a blank place. And the next place says, Since I'm not a hypocrite, I'm not going to straddle the fence. I'm going to do one or the other. And I've decided to reject Christ my Savior. And my signature is affixed here too. I'm professing I will not take it as my Savior because I don't want him. Blank place. Sign. That's the only thing that ever stumped me for a few minutes. Only thing I ran into that had me, that I hesitated. I looked at that thing and looked at that thing and I said, well, that's right. I mean, I've always been that way. Get on or get off. Sign of one or the other. And I pick up that pen. And every time I tried to sign that thing, I'd get nervous. And I'd say to myself, well, you hypocrite. You either reject him or you don't. So if you want to accept him, put down you accept him. And if you don't accept him, put down you reject him. I couldn't sign that cotton picking thing. I was scared to. Boy, I'll tell you, it'll be a hot day at the North Pole, and I'm scared of anything like that. But I was scared of him, and I put that pen aside. And the next morning, Hugh Pyle came at radio station. I said, "Hi, preacher, what do you know?" He said, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know?" And I said, "I don't know him." He said, "You'd like to know him?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "What you waiting for?" And took me back in the back room, led me to Christ. I accepted him. He accepted me. I have one more stand. This will be it. The hand of my Savior is strong. The hand of my Savior is strong. And the love of my Savior is long. Come on, come on. You take him, he'll take you. Come ahead. Come ahead. There's room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Well, I was going to close, but maybe there's room for one more. Maybe there's room for one more. We'll sing one more stanza. I don't know why you wait so long, but I'll forgive you if you'll come on now. If you waited this long, don't wait any longer. Let's sing the first stanza again. This will be the last stanza. Anybody come to not, this will be it. There's room for one more. Let's sing. The cross upon which Jesus died. Yes, sing it. You're going to come on. Come on. You take him, he'll take you. You want him, he'll want you. If you haven't done it, do it now. Come on now, now, come on. We're about through. One more, one more. One more. All right, if you would please be seated just a moment, and I'm still dealing with people up here at the altar. If you would wait just a few minutes and be patient. It's been a great time. This has been a real blowout. This has been a jubilee, boy. This is what up North Carolina they say, having a spell. Having a spell. That you had a spell. Now, tomorrow morning, when the sun comes up, you're going to be in the nasty now. You have to come down off the mountain and get back into it again. And oh boy. But just remember, you did the right thing coming this way, and you got jacked up. I mean, think how much worse it'd be if you never got jacked up. You need a jacking up once in a while to stand the gaff, man. You can't, where this country's going. You did the right thing. I don't care how permanent or temporary the thing is, you need it. And we're gonna have another one in about 3 months. I mean, three weeks in January, we're going to go at it again, man. You see why? Everybody probably get backslidden by that time. And it isn't that you mean to. It's just that, you know, you're just weak, and the world just presses and presses and presses. And some of us older dogs, they got an advantage over you because we've been there. Amen, brother. Thank you for that witness. The amount of two witnesses, every word should be established. And, we've been through so much that when the stuff starts, you see, we know how it's going to go, and we can take it in stride. I mean, just keep on keeping on. Just keep on, no matter what. Stay in the book. Stay on your knees. Keep witnessing. Stay in the book. If it gets dull, keep right on doing it. If it gets exciting, keep right. It'll pay off in the end. I'm telling you, it'll pay off in the end. You say, "Well, you know about it." I'm at the end, bud, and it pays off. It pays off. There's a payoff. What do you got, brother? Oh, yeah, we got some. Praise the Lord. Well, a young lady got saved here. Antoinette Holder got saved. And we got a couple being baptized tonight. Looking like somebody else getting saved down here too. Let's wait just a few minutes. Here's something somebody picked up. Christine Wren, Callion, Eamon Benjamin, Jamie Evans, Ross Jeweler. Anybody that blow anybody here? From Mississippi?
Yes, from Mobile.
From Mobile. Okay. We'll save it for him. All right. That lady gets saved just fixing something up. Saved last week. All right. Come and confess Christ tonight. Amen. All right. Good. Now we have a couple being baptized tonight before we close. And you know, I forget all this stuff. I get so wrapped up in this eternal stuff. I don't know where I'm at, Daddy. I mean, I forget this all this routine stuff. And I come to think of it, we have gone clear through this meeting and had me invite him to join the church. I don't know how that ever happened, but that we got clear through the whole thing. Just plumb slipped my mind. And maybe some like to join the church. I don't know. Save here tonight. Like to join the church. Are there any here tonight who would like to? Would you raise a hand? Oh well, there we go. That's okay. Let's stand again, and listen, while we're at it, if anybody would like to be baptized, there's a dressing room over here and a dressing room over here. We'll sing one stanza of Where He Leads Me, I'll Follow, I Can Hear My Savior Calling. And if you want to be baptized, men or boys over here, ladies and women over here, girls over here on this side, while we sing, you know, you folks like to join the church, feel free to come. Now, we require that you be baptized to be a member. You be saved. You know you're saved. And confess Christ publicly. And let's sing, I Can Hear My Savior Calling. What number is that? 384. We'll just sing one stanza. Let us sing out. I can hear. You're going to have some help here. Singing again. I can hear my Savior calling. Where He leads me. Come some more. One more. This will be the last one. This will be the last one we'll sing. Some more coming. Leads my Savior calling. One more time. I can hear. Well, amen. 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 Amen.
Where He leads me, I will follow.
We wouldn't get piled up like this if I could just remember these things, but I have my mind constantly on this thing right here. I want you people, I want the Lord to deal with you. I want the Lord to bless you. I want the Lord to answer your prayers. I want the Lord to mold you. I want the Lord to make you. I want God to take you. I want God to use you. And I want you and God to be rightly related. And that's so strong in my mind that when it comes to attendance and giving and stuff, it just skips my mind. I can't get my mind on it. I guess most churches have got to push the attendance and push the giving. We just never had too much around here. And this, we wouldn't have this pile up if we'd give an invitation every time we preach, but I forget it for months at a time. Months at a time. That Bible, there comes some more. Well, yeah. Well, y'all have a seat. We're going to have to wait here a while.